Blog Talk Radio.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I did not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the His face. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
Internet world, welcome to The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, thank you very much for taking time out of your busy life to join me on the broadcast today. Today, it is Monday, December 2nd, and it's just 23 days until Christmas. It's this time of year when life becomes so busy, so involved, when we are busy planning the activities for that great feast day we call Christmas. And we work up to that, if you will. We spend lots of money. We spend lots of time shopping, and we put everything together, the tree, the presents, the meal. We set everything in place, gathering families together for that one special occasion. And every year, we invest a lot of time in the preparation for this great holiday. But oftentimes, the world is so filled with chaos and busyness that we forget the very special significance of what Christmas is all about. Christmas is certainly gifts. It is a beautiful time of year. Music, garland, decorations, presents, family, all of that plays a role in what Christmas is all about. But yet that is only part of it. That is only superficial compared to the real meaning of what Christmas is all about. And on this day, the world pauses, but does the world understand just what that day means? We take a look closely at the word Christmas, and the word Christ is there. And certainly, that is what Christmas is all about. Jesus is the heart of Christmas. Jesus is the miracle of Christmas. This day is the culmination of thousands of years of prophecy coming to fulfillment on this day that we call Christmas. It all began when our first parents, Adam and Eve, rebelled against God in paradise. They chose sin over righteousness. And on that day, Adam, the head of the race, the human race, died spiritually and brought sin, death, disease, decay, and evil into the human race. And was on that day also that God pronounced judgment on this world, pronounced judgment on our first parents, but in that judgment, he also promised great mercy and forgiveness. And for thousands of years, he spoke through the prophets, giving us a glimpse of what he was going to do to bring about the salvation of the human race. One such beautiful prophecy comes from the book of Isaiah, and it's found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 23. The angel Gabriel says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," meaning God with us. The angel promised that the virgin would bear a son, and he will save his people from his sins. His name will be called Emmanuel, God with us. What a wonderful promise, in that it says that literally God will be with us. In John's Gospel, we see this miraculous event talked about from eternity past and revealed to us on that phenomenal day we call Christmas. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." This miracle, this baby that was born on what we call Christmas Day, according to Scripture, according to prophecy, is the Word of God made flesh, the incarnation, or God manifested in the flesh. That little baby born in Bethlehem was not just some prophet, was not just some promised child. He was God himself manifested in human flesh. This is the miracle of Christianity, unlike any other world religion, in that Christianity teaches that God did something to solve the problem of humanity. God did something miraculous to bring about the rescue of his people from the bondage, death, and decay of sin. And what it teaches is that God stepped down off of his royal throne and became a man in Christ Jesus. The writer of Hebrews makes this pronouncement very clear. "Long ago, and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets," or through the prophets, "but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world." Who is this Son? He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. And after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. The writer of Hebrews says of Jesus that he is the promised Messiah, that he is the exact imprint of God's nature stamped in human flesh. He is the radiance of God's glory. These are terms that praise the person, the nature, and the work of Jesus. Again, there is no religion in the world that teaches this miracle. All other religions offer ways that you and I can make our way up to God to appease him through our righteous devotion, our good works, our rituals, that somehow through the giving of our rituals and our works that we will somehow make peace with God in that way. But the actual opposite is true in Christianity, in that God took the initiative to solve the problem of sin by becoming a man in Jesus Christ, the Incarnation. I want us this morning to look very carefully at one of the most beautiful portraits of Scripture that describes this miraculous event called the Incarnation. In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is dealing with a problem, a schism, in the church at Philippi. There was a schism in the church in that there was fighting, quarreling amongst church members. You see, all of us as Christians, we still sin. We still do things that grieve God's heart. We're human. And the Apostle Paul was dealing with a lack of humility. That was the problem in the Philippian church. And Paul wanted to, as an apostle and the heart of a pastor, he wanted to deal with this problem. He wanted them to understand how humility was the main characteristic outside of love that the Christian should show. And so Paul decides through biblical revelation to help the Philippians understand what humility really looks like. He said to the Philippians, "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had." Well, what was that attitude? What were they to learn? "Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to." In other words, Paul is saying, Jesus is God. You know that from what the Bible teaches. But he had an attitude about being God that was so important, something that can teach us something very valuable in this problem you're having, in this schism. Even though he's God, and he was God, and he always has been God, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, Paul is saying he didn't think of his status as something to cling to. In other words, he did not show pride in the fact that he was God. He did not abuse his rights and privileges as the supreme God of the universe. He did not glory in that in the sense that we do. The problem is we as Christians need to be like Jesus instead of clinging selfishly to his deity. He gave up his divine privileges. What Paul is saying is the very king of the universe, who was fully God, stepped down from his royal position in heaven. For God to step down off of his throne means God is doing something very miraculous, very special. He is stepping down. What does that mean? He's stepping down to come to save us. He is stepping down out of heaven to take on human flesh. And in doing this miraculous act. He did something that our minds can't comprehend. He chose to give up his divine privileges as the very God and architect of the universe. In becoming a man in Christ, he set aside his rights and took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. Our minds cannot fathom that. In order for the God of the universe to save us from the bondage of sin, to become our sinless substitute, to become our Savior, he chose, as the King of the universe, as you will, to take off his robes and remove his crown and set it aside. Now, in doing that, the very King of the universe was still king. He was still God, but he chose to set aside those rights and privileges when he entered the human race in order to take on the position of a slave, of a servant. And in doing so, Paul said, the very God of the universe is showing us the most incredible act of humility. He is still king. He is still God. But he's doing something for our sakes. In becoming a human being, he becomes a bondslave. He becomes a servant. And we see him in human form. And theologians call this act the incarnation, God taking on human flesh. He is fully God and fully man. He humbled himself. The second person of the Trinity humbled himself in obedience to God the Father. And in doing so, he died a criminal's death on a cross. So we see the great condescension. God removed his royal garments. He set aside his rights and privileges. He took the lowly position of a bondservant and a slave. And as God the Son, he put himself in the position of this servant in that he perfectly obeyed God's law. He never sinned. He always obeyed his Father as the Son. He's a human being, and yet he's equal to the Father in nature and glory. He's the God-man. He perfectly obeyed God's law in our behalf. As our substitute, he took our place on the cross. And Philippians 2 says he died a criminal's death on a cross. Jesus, who was perfect and sinless, took our punishment, took our sin and our guilt in his death on the cross. What we deserved, he willingly took. And as the humble bondservant, as our sinless Savior, as our substitute, he took God's wrath on the cross in our place. And this is the glorious act of the incarnation. That baby born in a manger on Christmas Day would grow up to be the perfect Lamb of God, the fulfillment of the book of Exodus as the Passover Lamb. When the Israelites were commanded to spread blood above the doorpost so that the death angel would pass over them, Jesus becomes the Passover Lamb. The babe in the manger grew up to be the King of the universe, the Passover Lamb, our sinless substitute. And in this act of condescension and humiliation, he died a criminal's death in our place on the cross. And then 3 days later, God exalted him as the righteous servant, as the sinless Son of God. And it says, therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. And so in this act of suffering and death and humiliation, the sinless Son of God was raised from the dead by the Father, by the Spirit, and was given the name above all other names, the name of Lord, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and that every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the amazing, miraculous, beautiful message of Christian, the incarnation of God in human flesh, to become our sinless Savior, to become our substitute, who bore all of our sin and punishment, and who cleanses us from all guilt. Jesus, the name above every name. And the Bible says, at the name of Jesus, at the exalted Christ, every knee should bow in worship and adoration in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue, every person declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, this is the ultimate meaning of what Christmas is. The heart of Christmas is Jesus. I want you to hear this beautiful song of worship, and I'll be back to talk a little bit more. This is Chris Tomlin, He Shall Reign Forevermore. A beautiful worship song from that master of worship. I call him Chris Tomlin. He shall reign forevermore. Jesus is the King of the universe, but does he reign on the heart of your life? That's the most important question as we prepare for Christmas. The question you must ask yourself is, he King of my life? Does he reign in my heart? Because he came to seek and to save that which was lost, the Bible says, he will save his people from their sins. It's the message of hope. In the darkness, in the twistedness, in the evil, in the uncertainty, in the chaos of our world, Jesus came. And Jesus came to rescue us, to give us hope, to give us an unshakable foundation for our lives to be built on. He shall reign forevermore. The Bible says he is the King of the universe. At the command of Christ, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God has highly exalted him. God has given him the name that is above every other name. And so the miracle of Christmas is the miracle that 2,000 years ago, God himself came to rescue us from our sins. I pray that this Christmas, in the hustle and bustle, the gift buying, the family gathering, that Jesus will reign in your heart as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the greatest gift of Christmas, the greatest gift of love. I pray that you invite him into your heart and surrender your life to him. God bless you. I will see you again this Thursday on the Cross in the Desert. Have yourself a great week.
In a stable for a throne, and a shame.